Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets the foot behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chichar.
Yes, welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here as always. And remember, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Ireland. Now, later on in the programme, we will hear from Sky Sports pundit and Irish Independent columnist Dick Clerkin. But first, Frank Craig, Donegal News, Chris McNulty, Donegal Sports Hub, among many others. Now, it is 170 days since Donegal lost to Cavan in the Ulster final. And coincidentally, the two last men that I spoke to on that horrific night in the Orchard County was Chris McNulty and Frank Craig. Chris, how's life with you?
All good, Paddy. All good.
Thanks for joining me. And Mr. Frank Craig, how are you?
Yeah, very good, Paddy.
Chris, you were at the press conference on Tuesday. Even though press conferences, we don't get a huge amount of information these days, Chris, do we? Any news for us?
No, we don't get a huge pile of news. I suppose there was a couple of things from today, just in terms of squad news. Declan confirming that Eamon Doherty and Kieran Dever have left the panel from last year. Obviously, we already know that Orrin McNeillis is back in situ again. Probably not going to feature this weekend, judging by Declan's answer, lack of answer on the thing. It sort of seems that he's going to be a couple of weeks before we see him. Orrin McFadden, very due back in the country this week from his tour of duty with the Army of Syria. But again, probably going to be the championship before we see him. You mentioned there that night you spoke to myself and Frank in the athletic grounds. And very notably today at one stage, there was a lot of talk, obviously, about that game, you know, which is what, 6 months ago now or whatever it is. At one point today, Declan actually interjected to... There was a journalist asking a question about it for, you know, it had been maybe fifth or sixth question, and Declan sort of was very keen that there'd be no more talk about Cavan. He very much sort of looking forward, sort of very telling that, you know, he didn't want to be dwelling too much on what happened in that day in the Ulster final.
Frank, and I'll be asking you the same question. Listen, we've had a long time to stew on it. By the way, lads, see that night in Armagh. I lost my bank card. I was driving from Armagh to Dublin. I had an interview in the morning, so I had no bank card, and my phone went dead, and I ended up in Portadown for about an hour and a half after Donegal losing the Ulster final.
That sounds like a good night, Paddy.
Bleak, lads, bleak. Bleak, really, really, really depressing now, to be honest. I don't even know why I went there. As I said, I'll be asking you both the same question. Frank, we've had so long to shoot over this for Donegal supporters, and none more so than the actual management team and the players and that. How do you think morale is within the Donegal camp, Frank, going into this year?
It's probably good. They probably just want to get started right away. And as like Chris said, they probably want to draw a line under maybe, you know, Declan maybe taking umbrage or issue with repetitive questions. It was probably my own colleague Ryan Ferry. I'm going to have to pull him on that. They're wasting other people's time and wasting Declan's time maybe on looking back instead of looking forward. They've had the guts of 5 or 6 months, and I think it might have been Hugh McFadden a few weeks ago that said they haven't had the time to reflect together collectively and sort of park at Paddy. So that's probably been frustrating. They've probably been talking over Zoom, interacting over Zoom, and whenever they got back, officially or unofficially, who knows? But every side is trying to make up time because they're going to hit the ground running. Listen, they're going to have to examine it, I suppose, collectively and look why it went wrong, what didn't go right that day or night, why they seemed off the pace, maybe couldn't get up to the intensity that Cavan were able to produce. Now, this was Cavan at the end of the day. None of us since talking to, I mean, I've talked to more people simply because of the lack of action. And you always have to, you know, look back at that Cavan game, former players, current players, they don't have the answers. But I'm sure when that think tank of Donegal's, you know, Stephen Rochford, Declan, obviously, Carl Lacey is gone now. When they get together, I suppose, break it down for the players pretty quickly, because they're going to have to move on. They've three National Football League games, you know, at least look at maybe more of their fortunes not to progress on, and then straight into the championship. So it's bang, bang. And listen, I think they'll draw a line under pretty quickly. Look at this league, three Ulster sides in with them, and I suppose Donegal, Armagh, Mon, the one section, Tyrone, and then a preliminary round against Down. It's a huge gauntlet in front of them. And again, we're talking about luck, we're talking about panel, you know, fatigue, stress testing the players that are available to them. It's going to be very, very interesting. All really excited ahead of Saturday night for this first throw-in against Tyrone. And Oma, cannot wait.
Yeah, and it's, he just touched on it there, Frank, Chris, like he's, it's a busy, busy schedule, three Saturday games in a row, then a little bit of a break towards the championship. And like if Donegal block were to get to an Ulster final, for example, from the preliminary, that would be 4 weeks and six, they would be out. And of course, then we're going to have possibly relegation or, you know, league semi-finals. Donegal can't be in a league final because of their situation. So it's fairly, it's muddled up there, Chris, in a short period of time, isn't it?
Aye, it is, and it's very different. Like, because if you think about like normal years, you would have the league kind of going from late January, early February, into kind of very early April, maybe late March. You would have, if you were drawn on the wrong or the late side of Ulster, you could have a couple of months to wait, you know, and you would be spending a couple of months kind of wondering about everything. But now we're only maybe already 6 or 7 weeks out from the start of the championship for Donegal, so it's very much now going to be a sprint all the way. And like with relegation, you know, Donegal worked so hard to get out of Division 2. You know, they probably don't really want to be trying to win Division 1 or nothing. But at the same time, you want to be getting into the championship with a wee bit of confidence. Like, you've got a tricky enough game. Like, don't forget, Down were 8 or 9 points up against Cavan at the stage in their game last year. They've been kind of showing good enough signs under Paddy Kelly and that. So, like, it's a bit of a sprint, you know, to get through the whole thing now in a couple of months. Anyway, niggles that are appearing, they're not going to be taking any chances with that championship game coming to mind. And I would say we'll see quite a bit of squad rotation by Declan over the next couple of weeks, just to get boys up to speed. Because remember, like, they haven't even been away with their clubs. Like, this will be the first game any of them have had since that day in the Athletic Grounds. It's going to be tough.
Chris, and again, Frank, I'm going to put the exact same one to you. Chris, a couple of years ago when Donegal lost to Tyrone, it was Declan's first year, okay? Fine. Second year, people could say a lot of injuries, but last year really was the tough one, wasn't it? Because Donegal were overwhelming hot favourites, and it was the first chance since 2014 to make a semi-final. So after that, Chris, I got the feeling there's huge dejection among Donegal supporters. So if anything going into this year, perhaps the noise and hype will be a lot less. Is that fair to say?
Probably, yeah. I suppose we were all guilty of it. Like, if you go back, like, there was such volume of talk about, like, Donegal being able to beat Dublin, and we're Donegal the only team in the country, and the game never materialised. And it probably did. Like, it would, you know, they're only human, like, that would seep in the players, especially in lockdown where they were all at home and they were all in kind of their own bubbles at home, that talk. And even if you look at, like, the players that didn't play that day, like Kieran Thompson was left out, Stephen McManaman didn't play, you kind of got the feeling, If that was, say, the ultimate end game that day in the Athletic Grounds, would those players have played? Probably. Now, again, I'm kind of guessing on that, but you kind of wonder, you know, were all of us, management players included, just guilty of looking just a wee bit too far down the distance? And possibly we've learned a wee bit from that in terms of, you know, maybe not sort of counting the chickens sort of before they hatch. But in saying that, you know, it's been funny. Like, we were making the point to Paul Brennan today. Like, in the last decade, Donegal have won the Ulster title 5 times. In the entire history before that, they'd only won 5. And yet, we're kind of here almost saying, in the same period, Donegal have kind of underachieved. You know, even though we've been absolutely spoiled in the last decade, there still are titles. I mean, we left an All-Ireland behind us in 2014. Last year, definitely, was an Ulster title left behind us. Like, so, you know, we couldn't, should have had more, even though we've been absolutely spoiled in the last 10 years.
Would you go along with that, Frank, in terms of hype, noise, expectations maybe just that little bit lower this year?
little bit lower, I think, you know, once bitten, twice shy. And what happened is in the athletic grounds, we're not going to dwell too much on it, but it caught everybody off guard. I think, you know, national media was one thing. There was a big spotlight in Donegal, but I think a lot of us maybe closer, you know, to the action in Donegal were weary of Donegal and maybe, you know, the depth of their panel, particularly behind midfield in terms of injuries and absentees. But we didn't expect a light to be shone on that against Cavan. We probably were fearful maybe Dublin and All-Ireland final. A lot of that their hype could have gone out the window, and maybe things could have been extra difficult had we potentially met Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final. Listen, yeah, we're winning Ulster titles, but at the same time, it's kind of been a diluted province, I think, this last couple of years. Tyrone, I think the longer Mickey Hart stayed there, the better for Donegal. I mean, you look at, listen, the man brought 3 All-Ireland titles to that county. He's a red-hand legend. But sometimes the game outgrows people and moves on. And we look at, you know, maybe it's a clumsy comparison, but Jose Mourinho and soccer, you know, Mickey Hart's time was up in Tyrone a long time ago. And even the way he was setting them up and setting their stall out, they were never far off Donegal. My only fear would be now going forward that, you know, Fergal Logan, Brian Dewar's come in there. Tyrone have a talented squad with a couple of big aces added, you know, another big ace in Callum McShane to come back in. Conor McKenna, another season under his belt. Dara Canavan. Maybe the chance and the opportunity we had the last 3 or 4 years to make an All-Ireland semi-final is going to be a lot harder than it previously was. I was talking to Paddy Campbell a few weeks ago, and he said, regardless of Donegal, you know, wouldn't have had enough for Dublin last year on the semi-final, if they'd stumble through, at least they would have something to measure up against. They would have something to compare with Dublin, where they are, how far they're off the pace. Not getting to Crow Park and not getting to these All-Ireland semi-finals, we just don't know where these players are at. They're going to need one or two failures maybe at that their level to maybe find their feet, maybe in a last four stage in the country in All-Ireland series. We haven't got that year yet. So if we did eventually get to it, even you would worry about maybe it's a young panel bar, you know, 3 or 4 players. So the more experience they can get, and they haven't any already. It's strange to have, you know, 2 or 3 provincial medals in your pocket, but not to have played in an All-Ireland semi-final. That's the contrast, maybe, or maybe the contradiction that's kind of happened in Declan's term. But listen, again, eternal optimist. Every year, you know, we go into it. I always expect big things in Donegal, but, you know, Tyrone just on our periphery now, there's a fear that things could begin to kick on there again, and that would be a big concern, and, you know, fearfully not at the expense of Donegal.
Yeah, some good points there. And Chris, I've heard anecdotally, as I'm sure you have as well, Tyrone have been flying in challenge matches, and Frank just touched on it there. Normally, Chris, in any sport, whether we see it in soccer, we see it in rugby, Rory McIlroy's back with Steve Cowan now in golf, for example, and just usually, whatever the sporting entity is, they get a little bit of a bounce with a new manager.
Yeah, that's only natural, you know, because I suppose a few of the players maybe had become kind of stale under Mickey, and, you know, there was that feeling in Tyrone for a few years that, you know, there was a desire for change, and maybe had Mickey not been so successful and, you know, his stature so high, probably would have gone, you know, he probably got the benefit of and probably right again rightly so the legend that he had created over that period. But, you know, Fergal and Brian coming in, they've had success at underage level. They know those players so well. And like they've also bettered Donegal on a couple of occasions at minor and 21 level Tyrone in recent years. Like, you know, we've not got things easy against them in those grades. Those players coming in, like Frank touched on Cathal McShane. I mean, Cathal McShane on his day is one of the best players in the country. You know, we looked at the impact Conor McKenna had last year, and, you know, the great duel with Donegal and Ballybuffet and stuff. But again, to bring Cathal McShane in beside him, it just adds a complete new dimension, doesn't it? Tyrone, like, they've got a tough enough draw against Cavan, but definitely, like, if you're Cavan looking at the Ulster Championship, that's the draw you did not want as a rejuvenated Tyrone. I suppose, though, in many ways, like, looking at this week's game, the pressure's kind of on Tyrone because a lot of the spotlight's on them to see how they are under the new management, you know, for Donegal, maybe sort of get a pass this week, if you like, you know, maybe more so than the guys have in Tyrone. But look, Paddy, even taking that thing back to Donegal, and, you know, Frank touched about sort of being the eternal optimist. Like, you know, while we've learned a lot from last year in terms of maybe not looking too far ahead, you still have to be optimistic when you look at the squad that Donegal have. You know, we've not lost any of our backbone players. We've got like Oran McNeilis is coming back in. We know the talent he has. If Kieran Gillespie can get back in there, you know, the likes of Stephen McMenamin, Oran McFadden, Ferry, Kieran Thompson, we're missing those. Like, so you start talking about things like that and you kind of find yourself, it's hard to keep a lid on your optimism then when you look at what we have coming.
Yeah, sure. And a lot of the talk, and it's funny you say that, Chris, and the players, even you mentioned Kieran Gillespie, Oran McFadden, Ferry, etc. And Donegal have had a lot of criticism nationally over their defence, but Frank, so short in that department in the last couple of years. Even go back to that Super 8s game that day against Kerry a couple of years ago, like Paddy McGrath was out, Neil McGee was out, Oman Gallagher was out, and a lot of long-term injuries. And that's really just an area that Boner will just be praying that he can just get guys back. And like, we look at Conor Morrison in the club last year, lads. Unbelievable club campaign. We all saw him against, you know, Hugh McFadden, against Paddy McBrearty, and then he gets injured. So,
yeah, you look at the team that started, you know, last year. I mean, particularly the game against Armagh, going forward, I mean, we had a lot of players that maybe weren't natural defenders, didn't have natural touch-tight tendencies playing, but when questions weren't asked of them, I mean, just going forward at steam, you know, on the break, off the shoulder, we looked fantastic. But when Calvin sat back and looked to counter, we didn't have that aggression of being able to maybe stop or just simply stand men up and, you know, let our own defence maybe sink back. I mean, Calvin were riding tackles and bypassing our men. And that was the real worry. As you say, I know Oisin McConville was on with you at the time, and he called those type of defenders bad children. And he's right, you know, the kind of bratness, you need that bit of, you know, mischief in you that I think you need three or four of them at this level now. And listen, I think Donegal have them on paper. They just weren't available at the time last year. And listen, it was showing up really badly that there night. Again, we talk about, you know, this Tyrone game at the weekend. What will it count for? I think it probably has to count for a lot, for the simple fact that games are at a premium. They'll be trying to play challenge games. I mean, how much of our squad will we get? You know, Chris touched on it earlier about using your squad. But does that come at the expense of what you want to do? If you have three league games, I mean, you start a league game at the end of January or February, you know, you're not that too disappointed or concerned if you're picking up losses or, you know, there's a bit in it. But, you know, a month out from championship, you know, if Donegal get a 5 or 6 point defeat at the weekend, Tyrone looked brilliant. You know, psychologically, what kind of marker does that there lay for Ulster? You know, Tyrone still see them as the biggest obstacle. If Tyrone managed to beat Cavan and we managed to make it all the way towards the semi-final, and we do meet them, but they've had the better league campaign, maybe a league final, maybe a league champ, no, league winners. Just, there's such a congested nature to it. I think everything counts for something in the lead-up here now, and it's going to be interesting to see what Declan actually does with his players, because people need game time. You don't want to go in undercooked. But are the players fit enough? Are they at a stage where you can actually put the foot down right away in the league and try these things out without the expense of, you know, we're talking small injuries, soft tissue injuries, 2-3 weeks. You know, it could cost us in the way that it cost us last year against Cavan. 2 or 3 of those very important players that we talk about in the one area. We have good cover. I think we have a very good panel. But when you get hit hard in the one area, and as Owen Bond said 2 weeks ago in the Donegal News, they got hit especially hard in the one or two areas in defence. And, you know, they might have had cover outside maybe the regular choice, but when you're going back 2 and 3 on the list and you're moving players about, bringing half forwards back to the half back line, even half backs playing cornerback and asking them to be touch tight, it caught us out. You know, it is a banana skin. You know, it is waiting to happen. And in hindsight, it's still very disappointing that it was Calvin that did do us. But again, it's the unknown in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be very interesting where the lie of the land is before we get to Down, what kind of mood we're going to be in, what players are going to be available to us. And listen, it's guesswork. It was last year, and I think as much, if not more, this year.
Two words that you said there, your last one, guesswork, and you said unknown. Chris, I get the feeling that of all the years going into the league, that we haven't really got a clue with the team this year in terms of, because you've already mentioned injuries and that, Chris, and we lads away and that, we just don't know, do we?
No, we don't. And I suppose something else like that you maybe would see in the league in normal times where you have that couple of months, like, and as Frank said, like, you're not wild bothered if you lose a game in late January, early February, because you have time. You can't sort of envisage any manager, Declan or anyone else, taking a chance, or are we going to try something new? Are we going to, because you don't have time if it goes and it doesn't work, then you're losing time earlier. Like, we've only 6 weeks to the championship. So, you know, you don't want to be sort of trying new systems, trying a fella here, or, you know, let's try somebody inside, or let's try somebody back at midfield. You just really have to sort of, it is nearly gung-ho from the start, like, really. And like Frank did mention it there, like, if you lose this weekend by 4 or 5 points in maybe Tyrone, or similarly, if you won, those wee doubts are going to creep, because you don't have those couple of months to get it out of your system and act, look, you know, that was the league was the league, now we're building for championship. Because you're straight out of one and you're into the next. So it's not even, you know, managers used to do that thing of, what was that phrase they used to say, oh, we'll press the button now for championship. That button's nearly going to have been pressed when they came back, you know, because, like, they've had no collective stuff done until the middle of April. So, like, even pre-season, challenge games, McKenna Cup, all of that's out the window. So you're kind of, you're sort of just landing back with everything getting into the pot. And now all of a sudden you're away to Tyrone. Like, you know, all right, it is only the league, but at the same time, with championship so far, like, you don't want to be conceding any wee bits of ground at all. So, you know, while you're not wild bothered in one sense about the weekend, it's just another reminder that championship's coming soon, and, you know, you do want to be getting some semblance of what your team in late June is going to look like.
Yeah, sure. And just finally on this, on the senior team, how do you think we're going to go this year, lads, in general? I know it's an awful question. We're 3 Donegal men. It'll probably be an easier one for Dick Clerkin later on. Start with you, Chris.
I would still be fairly confident, you know, that Donegal can win an Ulster title. Like, since 2014, we've always regarded Donegal as being one of the teams that can possibly challenge for the All-Ireland. Are we still in that bracket? Yeah, because of the nature of the championship. If you win Ulster, you're into an All-Ireland semi-final. But the problem is getting out of this bloody province, because, like, even look at the first game for Donegal, it's a potential banana skin going up to Newry. Now, it's a game Donegal should win. It's a game, you know, you would be extremely disappointed even now if you didn't win it. But you got that. You're still only at an Ulster quarter-final coming up against Rory Gallagher and Derry. You've got all the noise that's going to sort of precede that. Then you're still only at a semi-final stage and you still haven't met Tyrone, Monaghan or Cavan. Like, it's just so, so damn difficult, Ulster. But confident that, you know, if it was a betting man, I would still fancy, you know, to have a flutter and Donegal to win Ulster. What happens thereafter, you know, as Frank mentioned earlier on, you're just not sure, because we don't really have a gauge or a barometer to measure where we're at in terms of those other teams. And we won't get that, of course, in the league either, because it's an all-Ulster league that we're in, unfortunately, which, you know, probably isn't helpful for the year that's in it either, but look, still be confident that we can win an Ulster title this year.
Okay, Frank?
Yeah, listen, I think the two top sides in Ulster, no disrespect to Cavan, remain Donegal and Tyrone, but I would worry about, you know, that word we use, bounce, they get. We're talking about, you know, a shift in ruling of maybe 20 years that Mickey Hart was there. I mean, 2 years ago, I think it was an Ulster semi-final, like, I watched Stephen O'Neill wash his hands of their approach with 10 minutes to go. He was so frustrated. Like, Mickey Hart continued, you know, they continued to kick ball down the belly of the beast, and Donegal ate them up. I think that, you know, Fergal Logan and Brian Doyle are going to change things up there. They might, people talk about them maybe not having, you know, orthodox midfielders, you know, not the traditional big men they might have had there in the past. But I think, you know, the backroom team there will devise something that'll offer something different. I think they're a mobile side. I'd be concerned, you know, much more concerned than it would have been last year coming up against Tyrone in the championship. It's a 50-50 game, I think, and that would be me hoping that it is a 50-50 game. It could go either way. But again, looking past down would be foolish. Paddy Talley, very, very intelligent man. They were back early. They wouldn't have been back early trying to make those yards if they didn't think they could offer something. There's always scope in Ulster. We've seen Cavan last year, Division 3 team. Chris talked about, you know, a 9-point swing in that game with Down. So Down have something. You know, they had something where they looked like they had Cavan dead and buried. The nature of the season is so disjointed. I mean, how disappointed would we all be if we went to Newry and lost to Down in the Premier Round? I mean, it would top off this year perfectly. It would just put the tin hat on a depressing 12 months. But listen, it's not beyond the realms of impossibility. Let's see how we get on in this here league. Let's see how we do. I'm changing my mind mid thought, because we touched on last year Donegal and Tyrone was heavy petting, not even a Bob Fay in the league. Both sides stood off each other and there wasn't that cut and thrust. I know Donegal needed a result, don't think Tyrone did. Every side starting from scratch in the league now, So listen, the variables are all over the show, and I'm sick of chatting to people and chatting about what could happen. We'll not know. We'll know a wee bit more after the weekend, and as things progress, we'll know again. And the time for talking, thank God, is for 6 months of it. So roll on Saturday evening.
Yeah, Donegal lost to Down. We all have to go and talk to our families for a couple of months again. That's why we're all involved in sport. God, I'm a horrible human being. Amandite. Look, we're going to be covering the minors and under-20s in the next couple of weeks. Minors drawn in the preliminary round against Antrim. That one takes place the 21st of July. Park Shum, McCool, Bally, Beaufay, and at the same venue, Gary Duffy's under-20s were drawn against Armagh, and that one is the 2nd of July. I think that's a Friday night. Lads, we're really stuck for time, but just a quick one. Any word yet, Chris, on the club championships? Again, I've heard anecdotally that perhaps there's one round of the league and perhaps promotion relegation, but nothing actually concrete yet. Is that right?
That's right. We've had nothing concrete. I think there are moves afoot behind the scenes now to confirm with the clubs, possibly at the next county committee meeting. There are talks of doing a one-round all-county league with promotion and relegation. Of course, we've still got last year's county final, and there are three different scenarios depending on our previous conversation in terms of how Donegal are going or have done in terms of where that's going to go. So I suppose, again, like everything else at the moment, it's up in the air and we don't really know, but the guys behind the scenes are working, and I think do hope to confirm something with clubs in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people from the Neve Connell Club and Kilcar message me in the last couple of weeks, Chris. So you say three scenarios. That just totally depends, is it, on when Donegal are knocked out. So if they lose in the Ulster final, say, I think that's the August Bank Holiday weekend, just hypothetically speaking, then the county final will start before, obviously, the 2021 club championship.
That's right, yeah. So the 2020 final will be the first championship game played, first senior championship game played in 2021. And the three dates, I think there's two dates. One's early August, the other's late August. And I think there's a date in July from memory in there as well, you know, if Donegal go out early. So I suppose they want to be fair to those players who, you know, from those respective clubs that are in and around the county squad as well, because of course they've had no time together either. So you know, with those players now involved in the county setup, just to give them, I suppose they've waited so long, they may as well now give them a proper run in to that county final as well. I suppose it'll be a bit strange because, you know, you'll be coming straight out of one county final and straight into a new championship, like, you know, so it's probably the shortest reign ever for a county champion.
Yeah, and look, it's an awful time to be on any board and presiding over anything. Frank, last year's championship, club championship, again, we're stuck for time, make this very quick, but last year's club championship, I got the feeling, look, from just people I had on the podcast, that they liked the actual championship format. And as Chris said, I think one round of matches like in Division 1 is better than a regional league, for example.
Yeah, listen, it's just a huge pity we didn't get over the line last year. I thought the CCC, by and large, did a brilliant job because it is unprecedented. But in terms of regional league, listen, the appetite is absolutely zero. Nobody cares about them. I think because of the 12 months we've had, it might be easier to convince clubs to batter on without county players, in a sense, than it might ever have been in the past, because listen, they've been suffering more than anybody. The quicker they get out on the field, the better. The quicker they get a game under the belt. In terms of the county final, hopefully it proceeds, like, and by all accounts, what we're told it will, you know, get it played before the start of the 2021 championship. And as you said, whoever wins it probably won't have long to celebrate. Whoever loses it will get a chance to maybe quickly bounce.
Chris, finally, the hurlers had a very good win at the weekend, and they're taking on Kildare this weekend. So good start for Mickey McCann's troops.
Yeah, vital win for them, because I suppose themselves and Roscommon would be perceived as the two teams that'll be sort of battling to avoid the drop in that league. So especially on home soil for Mickey and Donegal, it was vital to get off. Didn't look like they're, you know, it looked like going to be one of those days they were going to leave behind them. Like they were trailing much of the way. Game was in the 71st minute. They were behind them for Haunty. You know, you just couldn't see them coming back. And then all of a sudden, Ronan McDermott plunders a goal, and Niall Cleary and Declan Coulter fire over long-range points and just really pulled the embers out of the fire right at the death. And it's a fantastic victory. Like, it probably performance-wise, they have a lot to work on and stuff. But look, as Mickey said on Sunday, the only time the scoreboard matters is the end of the game, and they left it late. But like, they've done an awful lot of good work over the last couple of years. They were well disappointed last year that they didn't get a chance to go up to Christy Ring, but going up into Division 2B with the likes of Kildare, the likes of Derry, Mayo, Roscommon, it lifts the bar for them. And you know, Sunday's performance showed that they'll be okay, they'll probably still be in a battle to avoid relegation, but they knew that from the start of the year. Like, they've lost a couple of players like Joe Boyle, stalwart of Donegal hurling over the last 10-15 years, massive loss. So to see them sort of have that character and that resolve to go to the well without the likes of Joe, very, very encouraging, I'm sure, for Mickey.
Yeah, sure. Lovely synopsis there, Chris. Actually, lad, and look, and I promise this is the last one. Jack Chambers, by the time this podcast goes out, we'll have more clarity on crowds returning and then, you know, with the acceleration of the vaccine rollout. It's badly needed, lads. And I thought there was going to be this second-year syndrome because it was bleak 4 or 5 weeks ago and we thought maybe there was going to be no crowds, or maybe 8, 9 weeks ago. But I feel that there's this just inner optimism now among people that perhaps we may have crowds, lads, at GA and all sporting events from July on, Frank. And that would give, I know we're lucky we got to games, but let's be honest, it's still not the same. Like,
it's definitely not. And in terms of crowds coming back, you know, I've read some of the comments today. It's still very vague in terms of, you know, what kind of ratio they would use to break it down, how many exactly would be allowed, you know, in terms of social distance and still what would be acceptable. I think the contradiction and the thing I find hard to fathom, I think cinemas, you know, art galleries and things like that, they're open this year. Like, for the life of me, I cannot understand why the likes of club games or these inter-county games of the weekend, even League of Ireland games, cannot facilitate some level of crowd. Because listen, as we've already seen, people are very imaginative. There's people hanging off trees, hanging off walls. People are leaning over fences. Every club, I would love to see at the weekend, you know, Donegal and Tyrone, maybe every club in the county, maybe getting 6 or 7 passes where somebody that's vaccinated, maybe somebody in their 60s, 70s that deserves a run out of the house, gets the Doma, gets to see that game in a safe environment. And the same with club. I mean, open air, if we cannot facilitate some level of crowds from the very off, I don't understand how I can go in to Letterkenny or Lifford Cinema in 2 weeks' time and sit for an hour, 2 hours and watch a film in a closed environment. So, yeah, listen, get people back in there. Make it safe. Make it sensible. And just add that wee bit more level of normality to bring you in to see people, you know, especially people that deserve it, that have maybe had a tough time in the last 12 months, tougher maybe than a lot of the rest of us.
Yeah, and Chris, I'm in a school of 500 people in a small area. And look, we know education's imperative and everything, but the actual concept itself, it just feels really conservative, doesn't it? And look, I'm not an effort, and I'm not a professor of immunology or anything like that, but Chris, surely this weekend in the League of Ireland and in every sport, we could get 500 to 1,000 outside in a big ground.
100%. Like, you know, Frank mentioned stuff like the cinema and stuff, and like there's places of worship where, you know, people are back into mass and stuff this week, like all in indoor settings. But even if you look at places like, you know, the town parks and the beaches, there's no control, if you like. But a football stadium, particularly inter-county level, and say the likes of League of Ireland or like, you know, the provincial rugby thing, where they're in proper stadiums that have capacities set on them. They have sort of all the various entries and exit points and stuff. Like, you go to any of the beaches in Donegal, there's no restriction in terms of crowd, in terms of how many people can go in at a time. There's no steward at the gate with a yellow bib from the Ulster Council telling you, no, you can't get in here today. You know, you can ply on and you can do what you want. So I don't get it. Say somewhere like Sean McCool Park, it has a capacity of, what, 17,000 roughly. Even to cut that in half or to cut it in 25%, or, you know, could you get 3,000 people dotted around Sean McCool Park? You wouldn't see them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you genuinely wouldn't see them if you, you know, put a few people behind each goal, a few people on the stand, like even mark out the seats where you can sit. Like, it seems to me so, so easy to do. And I would love to see the science and the reasoning behind why we can open, like, the whole country, bar the hospitality section, is going to be open very, very soon. You know, libraries are open again, cinemas are open, churches are open, everywhere's open. But yet, you know, you can go to Sean McCool Park, stand outside and look in, but you can't go to the other side of the fence and watch it. It's bizarre. It's just completely bizarre and completely unfair. And like, people, by and large, have done what they should be doing. You know, we've been among the very privileged people to get into matches and stuff. But, you know, you see the size of grounds yourself, like, and, you know, for some capacity restriction, be it even 10%, and say somewhere like Sean McCool Park, there's still 2,000 people would get in. I think, you know, that would mean so much, because it's another evidence that we're kind of coming back near normality again. But, you know, if we're only talking about trial events in June and July, it doesn't give much hope. And again, I go back, like, I'm all for doing what we should do and let's do the right thing and all that. But somebody sit me down and explain the science and the reasoning behind this, because I'm completely baffled by it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, seems to be moving at the speed of glaciers, Chris. I would agree with you there. Chris, I actually, Mr. Frank Craig, he was caught. It went viral that he was crowd surfing with those 10,000 students in Salt Hill in Galway. He thinks he's the Van Wilder of Southwest Donegal. Was that you, Frank?
It used to be once upon a time, not anymore. Hey, parent who does that to your father, who just, as you well know, you're crying there every week on your podcast about how you have to look after your wee man, Paddy McGrath, which is a shame the last day. He was bouncing two daughters on his knee, talking to you, man up, Paddy.
Chewed a couple of weeks ago from a couple of teachers in school and said, you don't babysit your own kids. So listen, I learned something new there, and I learned loads off yous too. Lads, Chris McNulty, Donegal Sports Hub, Frank Craig, Donegal News. Lads, hopefully we'll catch up with you again in the next couple of weeks. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Donegal GAA. Now, I am delighted to be joined by Sky Sports pundit and Irish independent communist. It is Dick Clerken. Dick, it's not often you're welcome around these parts in Donegal. How are you keeping?
Not too bad, not too bad, Paddy. Listen, I'm just glad to come on your show. As you say yourself, we got a bit of in a cold place for a few years there, so it's good to be welcomed in.
Yeah, it's amazing. Your legacy totally tarnished here in the Northwest, and I've had a couple of texts in already, and they're saying, can you ask Dick Clerken, why does he hate Donegal? I suppose it comes down to a big rivalry there for a couple of years. And do you hate Donegal, Dick?
Absolutely not. I suppose there's probably a fair few counties might throw that. I suppose, Paddy, been straight and honest, like when you were playing with Monaghan for so long, you're always looking at different counties that, you know, you're always trying to get up to their level and compete. And, you know, you might not have the resources or a tradition, and especially then when Donegal came along in 2012 and took an All Ireland win for, I suppose, the best part of my Indian sign over them. It was hard to take, but you're sort of saying, God, where did we go wrong? And so it was really a case of really trying to do what you can to match Donegal. Sometimes that pushes things over the edge and that competitiveness, but it's not about hate, certainly not. It's probably respect and just really wanting to compete. And, you know, Monaghan, I suppose, had a good name for really wanting to compete with the top teams and turn them over on more than one occasion. And listen, you had done what you had to do to get the results. And but listen, it was all good sportsmanship, I can assure you, buddy.
Listen, Dick, it's been said many times, and I've been reading you know, every week. It's great to be back, isn't it? And I just get the feeling, as they say, 1 billion Chinese don't care, but for us in the GAA community, it's great, and it's given everybody a lift that we're back this weekend. Football
back, head spinning in many ways, trying to cope with all the demands. Like, you could be a player coaching underage teams and getting pulled and dragged after, you know. So everyone's really catching up now to try and get back up to the pace of things, which is actually challenging, I find, for a lot of people from speaking to them, because they've been so used to doing nothing and for so long. So you're trying to get back into it, but all good. Like, everyone's just really loving it, and thankfully the weather seems to have calmed a wee bit milder, because it was horrible there the first week going back in the wind and the rain. You're like, you know, bring back lockdown. But it's great, and obviously then the inter-county to look forward to the weekend puts everyone's in a good mood, because it's just such a conversation starter from the week leading into the weekend and thereafter.
We're living in this insular bubble, I suppose, in Donegal, in that we, you know, we're looking at Donegal and we're so subjective about absolutely everything. And listen, it's a big one this weekend, Donegal Tyrone. How do you see that one going?
Well, you'd have to imagine now the Donegal boys are still very, very sore, borderline, maybe a wee bit embarrassed about how they let the Ulster final go the way it did. Like, let's be honest, you play that game 10 times over, it's a different result. And they've had to live with that, you know, in different times, you know, pre-COVID, you had a back door and you had a bad Ulster final or semi-final, you got a chance to right that wrong. I'd say they'd just be mad to get out playing now and trying to do what they can to forget that, you know, horror show, no more so than our own county. We'll talk about them in a minute. equally Tyrone, you know, like, what did he get, one game last year, you know, all the promise with young players, but never got a proper crack at it. And another year, there might have been another qualifier run. So they've had a long winter to try and figure out new change of management. So, listen, all eyes on Tyrone.
The two lads, the Donegal journalists, Chris and Frank, were saying that, like, normally in a normal season, you have a bad league game in February or early March. By the time June, July comes around, you know, things are fine. I mean, it's a different thing. This year in the league, they were, like, saying momentum. It's going to be very hard to, you know, flick a switch. Say Donegal or Monaghan take one or two bad beatings or any county in the league, it's a very short turnaround for championship, and that probably makes it that much more important to get off the ground running.
What are you saying during the week, Paddy, that, will people... teams take the league seriously? I says, catch yourself on. You've got three cracking games if you're a Division 1 or top Division 2 team with an eye on the championship. No point in sort of going at these games half baked and going to turn up with a big performance in knockout championship. It doesn't work like that. You got to build form. You got to build momentum. You got to see what players have been looking after themselves to try and hit the ground running and be there for a championship shout, because the minute the championship hits, you know, it's win or bust again. So, like, you really, I'd be almost in it. This is a mini championship lead in with every game.
I just only got to Rowan, and the lads were saying, like, new management, and I just get the feeling that, and look, we see it in so many different sports. You know all about it from playing yourself. There's always a bounce when a new management comes in. They've so many guys back this year that surely they're going to be on a huge upward trajectory. And with the new management, you'd have to say they're going to go up a few levels, because things probably did get stale under Mickey Hart.
You'd think, and you're right, you know, most teams would show a bounce across all sports, that fresh voice. That being said, you know, it's easy to take for granted what they had in the stability and the knowledge that Mickey Hart and his team would have had for his players and the success. Yes, there was a large cohort of people wanted to see a change. It wasn't necessarily want to see Mickey out. I think they felt it was right time for a change. But if the new management don't deliver very quickly, you'll find, you know, that the pitchforks will be out, because that's Tyrone football. You know it as well as myself, Paddy. They are ruthlessly passionate. They had become accustomed to winning All-Irelands and been at the top table, and they expect to be back up there very quickly. They see talent in that team. And there'll be a high expectation for the new management to get them there. So they'll be looking for a lot of positive signs coming out of these three league games.
How was it received when Monaghan, when word broke out within the county about breaking the regulations? And look, we live in this self-righteous world now, if you like. And I know I was reading one of your columns that was published just after it, and you said to your wife, she asked, what would you have done? And you says, look, I don't know. So how was it received within the general public there?
I think because of when it happened, that there was so much, you know, anxiousness, and people were starting to really get a wee bit bitter about everything around lockdown, that it was just the annoyance and embarrassment and sort of, there's all sorts of different emotions. And then after a day or two, there's a bit of apathy when people realize, hold on here, in the broad scheme of things, this is very, very minor what happened, and does it really need to be made the deal that it was? And that's why it died off as quickly as it did, and there hasn't been a word about it since, really. But at the time, because anything that popped up, Paddy, it grabbed headlines, it clogged the airwaves and Twitter feeds for 24, 48 hours. And that's just the way things work now, especially when there was no news. It was almost a distraction from the COVID stuff. So it was, you know, you never want your own county to be dragged into stuff like that. It wasn't pleasant. That being said, I think people are pragmatic. They know people make mistakes, and it was an awful lot worse was done with little or no comeback on it. But boys have just had to move on. And thankfully, you know, Banty and the Monaghan County Board just accepted it, you know, took their punishment and moved on. And that's, you know, put it behind them, and you know, that's really the way it has been, and the same for Dublin.
Yeah, and look, and this is not to condone in any way what they've done, but the mob online, and that we are living now in the Western world in a society that is just addicted to outrage. And I think, look, the mob, I don't mean that in a disparaging term, but it does move on, whether it's Gordon Elliott's horse, or whether it's a house party in Cork, or whether it's students, and do you know what I mean? Like, so
It does. And I think that the critical thing in a lot of those, a few of the cases you mentioned, is how you react. Like, we all make mistakes. God knows we've all had our sliding door moments over the last 12 months that you've maybe done something with family or done something that you just knew wasn't right and you got away with a type thing, and other times that, you know, we make a call. And it's a case of not, you know, the curtain twitching that started there over the last number of weeks. This was really part of that. Everyone starting to look over, and we all know ourselves, Paddy, there's plenty of stuff happened before Christmas and last year that was sort of in the same space, but people weren't calling everyone out on it. You know, we just sort of knew we were all in this together, whereas, you know, a couple of months ago, people were just getting a wee bit sick of it all and were happy to call people out, which wasn't pleasant. And none of us enjoyed it. Nobody likes being a tout or calling people out. And that's why I think there was a wee bit of sympathy as well on the teams involved once it all died down.
Yeah, and you said yourself in one of your columns, the altruism of the GAA family at large shouldn't be forgotten, but it also shouldn't be used as a free pass. How do you think, when this is all over, how do you think people will look back at the GAA's legacy with COVID-19?
I think you're still going to be very much in credit. And even now, if you were to do a pop survey, people would say yes. If you were to get a crude rating out of 10, you'd probably be in the 7 or 8, or else I'd hope for. Maybe I'm a bit biased, having been involved in the COVID side of things. But listen, if you look back, and the problem is those flashpoints like Monaghan and Dublin and maybe the club games towards the end of the year might sort of reside a wee bit more. But then you think of the middle of last summer, you were able to run cool camps when God, nothing was happening, and successfully done. Like 70,000 or 80,000 kids got to their cool camps. You got to play so much football during the summer that, you know, people thought was never going to happen. You got to run your championships in the winter without incident, and so there was an awful lot of good was done. And I think people, and then that's not even mentioning then the fundraising and the generosity that was done, be it direct fundraising or just good community-based help that was always, as it always does with so many things in GAA clubs, is rooted and people helping people out. And I think, you know, if people don't reflect on those when they've been asked about it, or reflect on it, be an awful disappointment, because all those things were relatively minor by comparison.
Yeah, and it's also, if you're not into a particular sport and you're looking to perhaps bash it, it's a perfect vehicle to do it, isn't it? Like, it can just add fuel to the fire.
Like, it does. And here, listen, we're our own worst enemy when it comes to that, Paddy. Like, we're far too quick to give out a bit of our own. And you see too many columnists, and even past players, I've noticed that a trend now that, you know, very quick to be populist about what seemed to be popular in the day, whereas, you know, yeah, the same fella wouldn't be talking boo about it a year ago when nobody else was. And but that's, as you talked about earlier, that's social media now. Everyone wants to be outraged, everyone wants to be seen to be, you know, on the sort of the cool hip liberal side of things. But listen, I think, you know, the grassroots GAA people who are there day in, day out, year in, year out, through the good and the bad, they understand that the GAA is much more than a populist, you know, hashtag on Twitter. And it means so much more to them. It does and always will ride out any of these minor controversies that come along.
Yeah, sure. Do you think, though, the GAA, do you think they've been a little bit too conservative? And look, I know they're a lot of the time, most of the time, they're working under the umbrella of NPHET and the government, etc. But in terms of, you know, ostensibly speaking, getting crowds back, for example, and even the kids, took a long time for the kids to get back to play, because you've written a lot about that as well.
But Paddy, I think this is what a massive thing that's been missed over the last 6 months. Like, the GAA literally, and as well for any organisation, had completely had their hands tied. They did not have the ability to make decisions outside of what the government was allowing them. Like, it just wasn't the case, even though we wanted to, or it might have been safe. There was little or no room for manoeuvre. You were totally dictated about what government. Now, there was a time last year where we could have ramped up a bit quicker, if you remember, when we returned to play, and we were a wee bit conservative because we're just conscious of the sheer volume of people that you're, you know, allowing back into mass movement and playing. But that all changed later in the year, and, you know, you were totally at the behest of what the government and NPHET were allowing you to do. And then it was a case of all we could really do is be ready. So when the deadline was set for you to go back, that your ducks in a row and your protocols were in place and all the communications were out, to be it inter-county club, whatever it might be, to move quickly. But other than that, you could do nothing. And a lot of people didn't really appreciate that, Paddy. They thought that we were sitting back, but we weren't. We just couldn't do anything.
What about the kids? Do you think they're looking? It's hard to look into the future. Do you think that this, you know, we had that St. Michael's from Ballsbridge rugby coach on saying that perhaps in rugby, he says there could be players that have missed sport in the last year that actually won't now go on and represent Ireland because of this. How much do you think that's going to impact on 16, 17, 18-year-olds?
I don't know. You feel you might be a wee bit dramatic about that, but have they missed out? Of course they have. You know, like sport development, especially at that coaching age, it's all about touches. It's all about getting time on the pitch. It's developing your skills, and you take that time away, obviously they're going to fall back. You know, does that mean they're going to fall away from the game? I'd hope not. Like, I don't know what your experience is, or other listeners have been going back to the club, but my own experience here, I coach in the Monaghan Harps Club, which is my sort of new adopted club here in Monaghan Town, not my playing club, which is Curran on the west of the county, but I've married into Monaghan Town. The numbers were huge the first day back. I think we'd like over 150 down at the Saturday morning nurseries. My sister-in-law here next door has taken on the girls, and you know, she'd maybe expected maybe 20 or 30 to turn up. 55 turned up, had to pull coaches out of the stand. So you know, and I've heard this happen in other places, like the appetite to get back out doing stuff that's positive. You know, they probably realized the passiveness of Netflix and you know, that life we've all lived there for 12 months, that you know, you can't be replaced with or you know, you'll never replace the goodness and enjoyment of getting out and playing. So I think, yeah, you're probably taking, I've noticed some of the kids that I would coach, you notice they haven't braced. But let's make that up, let's not dwell on it. Let's maybe, can we do extra sessions? I was talking to some of the parents who would be interested in doing an extra session during the week, maybe every second week, to try and make up that time that they otherwise lost. So listen, let's be creative, let's work hard to try and work it back, and I think, you know, we'll be okay.
Yeah, look, I'm a teacher as well by day, and I did read a brilliant tweet from a doctor about 3 months ago, and it said, you know, kids are resilient. Adults have decided that children are behind based on norms from non-pandemic times. And look, at even with school, like, they are settling back in. Have they missed a bit? Of course they have. But they're young, they're vibrant, the exuberant to youth, etc. Yeah, sure. And come here, listen, what's it like? I just want to get your brief thoughts on the All-Ireland. Look, but and I know it's still a little bit away. What's it like working as a pundit for Sky?
Well, it's to ask, Paddy. Like, I'm sure, let's be honest, a lot of people would look at me on Sky and say, well, how did De Klerk get that opportunity? Like, he's no All-Ireland medalist, and there's an awful lot of people sort of would be further up the food chain that should have got that. And listen, I was given an opportunity over 10 years ago to write for the Irish Examiner. And I knew then it was a privileged opportunity, because same was then, now I had one even less back then. But I worked hard, I grafted hard, and done well with the Examiner, and next thing the Independent came calling, and worked even harder at that, knowing the opportunity. And on the back of that, I got a start with Sky, you know. And you know, I pinch myself at times, Paddy. I'll be honest with you, you know, especially when you're there in All Ireland final day, more so than last year when there was nobody else there, that you know, you're not just, you know, working on one of the biggest sporting brands and one of the biggest sporting days in Ireland, but you've been screened all over the world. And, you know, it's just a privilege, first and foremost. I really enjoy it. It's a great way, and any former county players maybe listening, they'll probably appreciate this. It's very easy to get away from the game once you stop playing. And been involved with Sky and also the Independent keeps me close to the game. It keeps me up to date with, I have to know the new players coming in. And it's an awful lot more difficult every year that it passes, Paddy, because the first few years you knew a lot of the players, you played against them, so you could turn up to a Tyrone and Donegal and you didn't have to do much homework. Whereas now, going to a game, God, you might know a fraction of them, and you have to do a lot of homework. A lot of these young lads are half your age. But listen, I really enjoy it. It's a really great experience. And listen, I hopefully will love to continue with it, but I'm conscious that the media and all around is a fickle game. So I'm just enjoying it while it's still there, Paddy.
Do you ever get criticism? Look, we had, you know, or Taoiseach Micheál Martin on Off the Ball a couple of weeks ago and talking about games being free to air and he'd like to see more free to air. Do you ever within the Sky fraternity get abuse? You ever hear it? Sellouts, etc. And that.
Yeah, well, you do and you don't. I would have very few conversations in person. I find that with social media, I'd always have got a bit of jabs and stuff on social media, and sometimes it's my own fault. But in terms of the conversations on the street, you know, like at the end of the day, people are paying for everything now that they value, be it Netflix, be it even their own club games last year, you know, in terms of subscription. And once it's fair, once it's modest, once you're not trying to, you know, overcharge people. And I think what we put a very good, I don't like to use the word product, but we work very hard to try and give viewers what they want and what maybe people feel they hadn't been getting elsewhere is good analysis from people who have, you know, are close to the game, have either played it recently or understand the modern game, and let the games do the talking. You know, I try, like, people tune in to watch the game. Some people might think, no, they tune in to watch the games at halftime or before and after. They don't. We're there to try and complement the games, and that's what we try to do. And, you know, I think people have respected that, and that controversy, yeah, you'll get a wee bit of a kickback every so often. I think largely, especially the last 12 months, Paddy, that people have sort of recognised that the GAA literally have to have some sort of a pay-per-view model, not just at inter-county, but now at club level. And, you know, I can see that being across the board now, even in post-COVID times, that clubs will see the value of having stream games for not just locally, but, you know, people, the diaspora watching around the world. So I think it's a welcome thing that's going to come in, because it has great value. And, you know, once people see there's value in it, people don't have a problem.
Look, your analysis too, Sky's analysis, in my opinion, I think it's exceptionally high. Why in Gaelic football? I want to ask you this, because you see the positives and the negatives, and look, you call it as it is. Why in Gaelic football, when there's a bad game, it's like the end of the world? Or if somebody comes up with a different style of that. You take the hurling analyst, for example, and I know it's more niche, and perhaps there's a little bit of insecurity. Maybe that's the wrong word, but in rugby, Munster come along and they win with an unconventional approach. Okay, in soccer, we've seen various teams from the 1950s come up with different styles and they win. We see it in all sports. And you watch Match of the Day and Burnley go to Old Trafford and they hold out for a 0-0 draw. And it's praised, it's endorsed as this brilliant defensive thing. Rugby, it happens all the time. Schmidt's refined game plan. Why is there such vitriol thrown out there with one bad game or two bad games?
Yeah, I always ask myself the same question, because now I suppose Gaelic football, it's sitting in a bit of a unique place when you talk about other sports, and that a lot of those other sports, they're well developed, they're sort of more mature, and people accept them for the games that they are, that it's okay if you turn up and there's a 0-0 snooze fest. That's part and parcel. So they don't judge it against that. Okay. 120 years Gaelic football was 15-on-15, ball out the middle, the contest, and that's what people had come to expect. But what has been served up over the last 10 years has been a big departure from that, and people are just struggling with it, Paddy, and I struggle with it. You know, I do at times. I think it's needless as well. I think, and it's too easy to just blame Jimmy McGuinness. Like, that's just lazy, because I could pull up a Jimmy McGuinness game and it'd be nothing like what some of the teams play now in terms of this slow lateral stuff. Jimmy and Donegal played, you know, high defensive gaze, but a fast break, moving forward at pace. You know, a lot of the stuff you see now, let's be honest, it's hard to watch. Lateral pass and slow, no creativity. Teams do need to move away from that, Paddy, and I genuinely think that needs some. But I think it is involved. I think we hit a low point there maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I think we're slowly starting to come out of it a wee bit. But again, it just Gaelic football found itself there in a place that nobody was really comfortable with. The traditionalists, no, can't have this, you know, and equally very hard to even the real purist or modernist, if you want to call it that. Some of them was hard to defend, let's be honest. And, you know, you don't like seeing talented forwards spending their time walking back or not getting the ball. That's not good in any game, you know. So you got to look what makes the game good. Any game, Gaelic football, it's the contest, it's forward play, it's the talented players, the scores, the creative players, getting on the ball as much as they can and enthralling the crowd. If you don't have that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how passionate you are, you're going to struggle to engage people. So, you know, I think it was a lot of the commentary was maybe a wee bit over the top, but fair in parts as well. And I think, you know, it's and hurling needs to watch out too, Paddy. You know, it's starting to become quite, I don't know what the word is, but like it can be quite passive. It's just this tick-tock, point over. It's lost that competitiveness that made it brilliant. So, you know, I think it needs to watch itself as well. But, you know, Gaelic football, it wasn't in a great place there for a few years. But I think it's starting to slowly come out of it, hopefully.
Yeah, I do as well. And listen, we're stuck for time in that. But tell me, Dick, the All-Ireland and Lough, we combine the two, the league, and I know you're a big admirer of this Dublin team. Can anybody in 2021, I'm up in Dublin here a lot of the time, and I had to listen to the buzzing for the half dozen, now it's the revving for seven.
Yeah.
Is there... Look, obviously they can't be beat. GA isn't an actual science, despite what some people say. Can they? Will they be stopped this year?
Well, they'll be beaten at some stage, right? But let's get past that. Will they be beaten this year is the question, right? My gut tells me that not this year, but like at the same time, you have to look at who's going to beat them before you say that. It's in Dublin hands. If they can maintain that level of consistency, which has been phenomenal, and that's whatever, but been a good team. Like there's been good teams in lots of sports, but to have the level of consistency that they have had at the clutch games, the clutch times is standout in any sport. So they'll be in an All-Ireland semi-final. That's a given. It's a case of, right, who potentially can take them out at that stage? Is it a Kerry, obviously, a Donegal, a Tyrone, a Mayo, a Galway, and then maybe a Monaghan or somebody to come up? Ask me in 3 weeks. At the minute, there's not enough there to say that any of those teams can realistically take them out. Can Tyrone show that they found a wee bit more? It's going to need to be a team that can attack and can have the confidence to play almost Dublin at their own game that Kerry were afraid to do a couple of years ago in that last quarter when they had them on the ropes. You remember that?
Sure.
Paddy, they had them beat. Like they were ahead. They were a man ahead and they just tightened up at the line. They done what Dublin don't do. And, you know, it's going to take a team to play with the confidence. Like that was probably one of the privileges last year, Paddy, working with Sky, that I got the opportunity to watch Dublin in empty stadiums and be on the touchline, which is a sort of an unusual experience. You can appreciate that you can really hear and see the pace and the intensity that they bring to games that you don't always appreciate when you're in a full Croke Park because there's so much else going on. Like, it's phenomenal, but they play with such confidence. There's such confidence in their tactics, such confidence in their technical ability, that you see other teams don't. They tighten up, they go into a shell, they fall back into this sort of false sense of security in a defensive shape. So it's going to need a team to be positive. It's going to need a team that has the technical nous up front to get scores and exploit the space that Dublin will give you. But there's just not enough teams out there that are really willing to have a cut. Mayo is one of the few of them. That's why they've been so good. They just didn't have enough scores in their team to do it. So Tyrone, possibly. Kerry, absolutely. But they need to show a bit over the next 3 weeks to convince me that they can take down Dublin.
In a word, who's going to win the league this year, Division 1?
Just looking at a fancy whoever wins that first game, Tyrone and Donegal. Now it's in Omagh, so I probably have to just give the nod to my Red Hand friends, Paddy, if you will forgive me for that, and if your listeners can. But it's only home advantage. The new manager bounce that you sort of mentioned earlier as well. So you have to back your own words too. So I think that might just give them enough to see if Tyrone. Like, Tyrone will always love the league. Like, one thing I always remember about Tyrone and Mickey Hart, like, Jesus, they'd be bouncing in McKenna Cup and they'd be bouncing in the league, and sometimes they'd plateau come the championship. So I expect them to be chomping at the bit, training and knowing the Tyrone boys and knowing the six counties, and probably a bit training ahead of everybody else. So I fancy them maybe to have and it's hard to imagine Dublin will have a huge amount of appetite. Kerry now, it'd be interesting to see if Kerry have much appetite for us. They'll be obviously very sore from the defeat to Cork last year, but maybe a Tyrone Kerry final and, you know, toss of a coin on that one.
Who's going to win the Ulster Championship? I presume you're going for Tyrone there as well.
See, the thing is, you always have to look at the draw. You know, it's one thing picking the best of the nine teams, but that's not really what championship's about either, because you got to get there first. Monaghan have a very good draw. Yeah. So Monaghan have the easier route than say, their Donegal or Tyrone, who'll meet in the semi-final. So, as I say, I'd like to think Monaghan will get to an Ulster final. They should have been in, if not one, two or three of them over the last number of years, and have been in none. So I'd fancy Monaghan to be in an Ulster final, and we haven't a bad record when we get there. So whoever comes out of Donegal and Tyrone, who knows, it could be a repeat of the 2013, 14, 15 saga we talked about earlier, Paddy. But listen, I think between those three teams, and Armagh will have a wee say as well.
Okay, yeah. And what about, yeah, who's going on the All-Ireland then?
As I said earlier, it's Dublin's, unless somebody can stick their head up and have the braveness and the, I suppose, the belief to go and beat them. As I say, they're you can assume now that they're not going to dip their standards. They're not going to have an off day or an off year, because they just don't really do that. It's whether a team can arrive in Croke Park in July or August, whatever it is, to have the confidence to go at them. So I'm putting it out to the floor there. There's half a dozen or eight teams there you could throw a blanket out of, but really it's up to, you know, the three top Ulster teams, Kerry, Cork to a lesser extent, and then Galway and Mayo, to see who can come out of the pie.
Well, listen, Dick, could talk to you all night and so many things I'd like to talk to you about. Hopefully maybe we might have a word later on in the year when Donegal meet Monaghan in an Ulster final.
There you go. I'll make a commitment now, and she would know at that stage. You might even get up to Donegal for a cup of coffee or whatever else you'd like to have up there.
We're riddled with COVID apparently. So,
I was just saying I might stay away actually, Paddy.
We have a phone line now too, and if anybody finds Dick Clerkin in Donegal, I think the phone line.
There's the tout line.
You'll have 20 guards calling to the house. Dick Clerkin, thanks so much for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast. Lotion Fair.
Pleasure, buddy.
So that's it for this week's show. Once again, my thanks to Dick Clerkin, Frank Craig and Chris McNulty. Our next podcast will be out on Sunday afternoon. We will have all the reaction from the Allianz Football League Division 1 match between Donegal and Tyrone in Healy Park in Omagh. Thanks again to our sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heating, O'Lahy Road in Donegal Town. And the match in Healy Park is live on Ocean FM from 5. Bye for now, and talk to you on Sunday.
FM. Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.